A beach holiday is something most of us look forward to. Normally they are memories we cherish, time relaxing on the sand and in the water. But what if that beach just isn't as nice as it used to be? Boracay in the Philippines is considered one of the best beaches in the world. For years though, the environment has been straining under the weight of rampant overdevelopment. More than 2 million tourists went there last year, and it's just a small place, about 10 square kilometres, twice the size of Sentosa Island in Singapore. It's 500 times smaller than Bali. Now Boracay is being totally shut down on the order of the Philippine President Rodrigo Duterte.
I will close Boracay. Boracay is a cesspool.
For 6 months, no visitors will be allowed to go there. All of the hotels and many of the businesses will shut, and thousands of workers will lose their jobs. I wanted to find out exactly what is going on there. I'm Jack Board. You're listening to The Asia Angle.
Welcome to Boracay.
I've just arrived in Boracay. It's hot and sunny, perfect beach weather. But before all of that, the first thing I actually noticed is this enormous advertising billboard. There's a few of them actually. One of them is for McDonald's and the other one is for some kind of exclusive Chinese entertainment precinct. And I have a suspicion I'm going to be seeing more things like this throughout my time here. I head across the island to Boracay's famous beachfront to speak with Rowan Aguirre. He's a longtime resident and he's the executive assistant to the local mayor.
What you can see is what you usually see in Boracay. You see the white beach, the sparkling waters, people out there on the white beach doing their activities, sunbathing, playing around, swimming. And it's the Boracay that people has come to love for so many years.
Can you tell me about how you've seen Boracay change over the many decades that you've been here?
Definitely. You know, a lot of things change in Boracay. From a sleepy island, it's now one of the busiest places in the country. It used to be that when you walk on the beach, it's just you, and there's nobody else. No. But now look at everything. You know, there's buildings. Sometimes I don't want to go out on the beach because there are so many people there, no? And after a while you get, you know, how do you call that? It's a term for that, when you don't want to be in a crowd of people. So that's the reason why people ask me, oh, have you been to the beach? I said no. Because there's so many people here.
What are the main issues that need to be tackled over the next few months?
Well, what caused it all? The cesspool tag, no? So that means the wastewater discharge that has to be taken care of. The setbacks, concern about the forest and the wetlands, the roads. Well, primarily also the infrastructure, and as well as other things that needs to be addressed and corrected. No? So we should just focus on all of them, and all these will be addressed simultaneously. So how it's going to be done, then we have not yet seen the plans for that. But, again, we always remain optimistic, no, that things will work out.
How did you feel when you had the president of the country call your home island a cesspool?
Well, dismayed, no, because that is not exactly true. However, I think he said that to make a point. That's what I feel, no? He wants to make a point that something needs to be done for Boracay.
Nearby, Rowan's sister Nanette has been planting coconut saplings along the beach today, in front of the hundreds of resorts and bars and restaurants that have been built here over the years.
We planted coconut trees this morning because we want to make sure the coconut trees that we've got in the past will be back, and we will have a green beachfront again. Especially the vegetation area, we want it green again.
Nenet is the president of the Boracay Foundation. It's a non-profit group of locals who are trying to sustain the island's business and increasingly its environment. Their slogan is preserving what we have, restoring what was lost. And while they are against the total six-month closure of Boracay, they don't argue against the need for its rehabilitation.
Sometimes others will say, yeah, it's good that it happened in our lifetime because if we'll do it later, it might be different. So now they're happy to be part of it. I mean, it's painful. Like they say, it's a bitter pill to swallow. But I think it is the right time, or we should have done it long time ago.
The beach here today, it's still crowded with tourists. And while the white sand is still shimmering as promised, there is this thick green slime trail just where the waves are lapping up and where children are playing. It's a reminder of the delicate ecology here and how it's being strained. The locals tell me that this green tide is natural. They're not worried about it. But a Japanese report completed in 2015 paints a far more sinister picture, that untreated waste seeping into the sea was degrading water quality and spawning bigger algae blooms, and that unregulated diving and snorkeling that people are doing here every day was causing severe coral losses, and relentless commercial development was leading to sand erosion. I asked Jonas Leones from the National Department of Environment and Natural Resources about what the agency has been seeing here.
The wastewater generated by these establishments are going directly to the water body. This is very dangerous considering that a lot of tourists are swimming in the Boracay waters. So we feel that it is the responsibility of the Philippine government to make sure that the tourists will be healthy when they visit the Philippines. And then another finding is the generation of waste. Can you imagine? The island is generating about 90 to 115 tons per day, but only 40 or 50 tons are hauled daily. So meaning there are still garbage remaining in the island. And if you compute it, accumulate it in a week's time, then garbage there will be piling up. And another findings is, based on our investigation, most of the establishment there are already encroaching into forest lands and wetlands and easements. So we believe that we cannot address this concern if we will not close down Boracay. If we will implement this or address these problems without closing Boracay, it may really take a longer time.
Ripples of shock reverberated around the Boracay community upon the words of the president that for 6 months there will be no tourists and no income. The economic impact of the shutdown is predicted to be more than $1 billion. Some 30,000 people could be out of work. And it's the small businesses that might be hit the hardest. Charlie Flores has a small cigar and local art store here in the island's main shopping complex, D Mall. He tells me that he's had no time to prepare for this and he has no work prospects for the next half a year.
We will see whatever the government can give us. That's reality. Actually, if we complain now, we cannot do anything because the government already decided. So the best way is to wait for the 6 months or maybe less. I hope it's less than that. And then we'll see.
I'm back on the beach at Station 1, and there's a whole bunch of the bars here that have had red lines of paint sprayed onto their walls. Now that means they're either too close to the sea or too close to the road, and they're going to need major renovation or face demolition.
Hi, I'm Mary Law. You are inside Niohana Resto Bar in Balabag. I will say this is the best spot to look at the sunset, as you can see. And then this one is also the happiest place in town. Our happy hour is all day till we close. Like 6 a.m. we are already happy hour, okay? And it will not change. So this is the happiest place.
So where exactly did you have to bring your bar further away from the sea?
We used to have a platform here, a wooden platform, usually because here in the Kenata put a permanent structure. So we have a wooden structure and then an awning. And it was really actually beautiful. But then when the task force said that we had to remove the awning, the glass door, and the stage, then we have to comply.
So I can still see all of the visitors to the bar still sitting out on chairs and bean bags, enjoying the sunset. This area is still fine to have non-permanent structures, is that right?
We have to follow what the government dictates, okay? As long as it's equal to everybody, then I think everybody will be very happy, okay? So it's only a matter of being able to see that everybody follows.
For small business owners, what was the feeling when they heard this announcement of the shutdown?
At first, we pray that it will be just, I'm joking. So I thought, is it a joke? Okay. We just have to comply to make it easy. Instead of the 6 months, then, or 1 year, then it should be like 2 months, 3 months, then at least the business or the impact will not be too great. Otherwise, it's a burden to the business owners and also for the ordinary people. Because like, where would they get the money to buy the food?
These businesses like Charlie's and Mary's entirely depend on tourists. But will those visitors actually come back after all of this? I go to speak with Peter Tay. He's a travel agent, originally from Singapore, and he's already had to cancel huge numbers of bookings.
Have you taken any bookings for holidays in October, November, over Christmas? Are already people starting to look that far ahead post-shutdown?
The news of shutdown is a shock to many, many people. Everybody is still trying to accept the fact the island is being closed. And if you ask me, do they have a plan to come back again? I haven't get to have any booking for October onwards yet. But of course, that would be later. And they are still trying to accept the fact that Boracay is closed because nobody believed that the sitting president make that drastic decision of closing the island.
From the marketing perspective, you have some 2 million people coming here every year. Has the marketing gone too well?
Well, I say, yep. We have been doing a good job in marketing and promoting the island. Things start to change with the Koreans, where they have this charter flight coming in, and then followed by the Taiwanese. They also have the direct flight and the Chinese. And the numbers continue to go on and on and on.
The impact of these mass numbers of tourists is all too clear around the island. The roads are congested, fast food outlets have overwhelmed local establishments, infrastructure is failing. The island has had no chance to rest. But while there is confusion and conflict and inevitable struggles for ordinary people now, it seems to me that local and national stakeholders alike are willing to embrace this as an opportunity to make a change in Boracay. Jonas Leones from the DNR agrees, and the person he thanks for that chance is the one who forced it to happen, President Duterte.
At this time, we are very fortunate that we have this kind of president who is not afraid, who has the political will to do reforms, and to protect the environment. Whoever gets in his way, that will be sorry for him, because the directive is to clean Boracay. So I think we should take advantage of this situation, wherein at a given time, we can make a difference in this island.
The Asia Angle's sound producer is Chu Wee Lin. Editorial assistance this week from Purple Romero. Our executive editor is David Bottomley. I'm Jack Board. This is the very first episode of the Asia Angle, but there's plenty more to come. If you enjoyed it, please do share it, rate it, subscribe. We'll be back soon with another on-the-ground report on the big issues impacting Southeast Asia.